such bullshit, man. This is bullshit.
I don't want to put the instant replay in the fucking game. Oh, so you can see this is bullshit.
This is the most heated you've ever been in VS Gold, and it's over the mattress.
I feel very strongly about this subject.
Well, I'm telling you,
I haven't slept in 11 months.
I'm not allowed to have a Twitter account.
This is the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. I don't think he's...
He wasn't yet. Every time we play this game, we're basically in a time machine.
I'm giving this a 10.
10?
I'm giving it a 10. I think
there's no way it's a 10. We've never seen a 10.
This has got to be a 10.
Welcome to BS Goals. This is Matt.
This is Jason.
And we're here dusting off the cobwebs and bringing back the podcast for a special Stanley Cup edition. We just couldn't pass this up, this opportunity. It's this epic opportunity that we had. Isn't that right, Jason?
Yeah, and I think we also win the iTunes podcast record for longest time interval between episodes posted of any show. I think we're like at 4.5 years or something since our last BS Goals, and this isn't even really a BS Goals episode. This is really just a Sharks v. Pens special edition.
This is crazy. You're right. I just looked at our site, and the last post was June 25th, 2012.
Oh, so we are almost a 4 year anniversary, and it took a Stanley Cup final that probably nobody thought was ever going to be possible, since the Sharks always choke it up. But yeah, it must be one of those years.
Yeah, who would have thought? I don't know. Oh, I can order a magnet here for $5.
Yeah.
I wonder if that still works.
You'd be the first and last one.
That's true.
The magnet company would be like, holy shit, we got to do a die cut for BS. Kidding me? Can we even find that one? Is it worth the $5? Let's just tell the building burned down. It'll be easier to explain.
Oh, boy. All right, so what's up with you, Jason? How have you been in the last almost 4 years, since we obviously haven't talked?
In the last 4 years, I went from one baby to now a four-year-old plus and a almost year-old baby.
Nice.
So two kids in. Moved from California, from Sharks territory to, I don't even want to say Dallas Stars territory because I'm living in Austin. But from the West Coast, the Lone Star State. And you, I think the last time we recorded, you were in Philadelphia.
I was.
And, back to Southern California.
I got out of Philadelphia, and I've been in Los Angeles for probably the last 3 years.
This is bad timing for you also. I leave, the Sharks make the Stanley Cup. You're gone, the Pens finally make a return.
That's true, but I mean, look, I haven't lived in Pittsburgh since I was 18 anyway, so I mean, either way, I'm watching from afar. So,
and I got to say, before we get to the actual Stanley Cup final, recap of games 1 and 2, look ahead to game 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think you sent me a text way back, which seems like years ago, in round 1, when the Sharks went up 2-0 on the Kings. Was it at that point that you said the Kings have the Sharks right where they want them?
Weren't they up 3-0?
I think it was either 3-0 or 3-1. I thought that series went 2-0, and I think they lost game 3. I might be wrong. But I thought it was 2-1, and then the Sharks won to go up 3-1, and then won the series.
Maybe that's how it was. I mean, I could be
wrong. It's been seriously, these playoffs always feel like, you know, my kid. I only had one kid when this Stanley Cup playoff started.
Right.
but whatever the case is, I know you were definitely a Sharks non-believer.
I was, and
in that Kings series.
And I do appreciate that Thornton never shaved his beard from that year, 4 years ago.
Oh my God! That beard.
What is going on with him and Burns? Like, that is just—it's giving a bad image to hockey.
Well, what's weird is it's kind of like two teenagers from the '80s. Sometimes when they sit too close to each other on the team bus, their beards get interlocked, much like 1985 metallic braces. And it's often up to DeBoer to get a team in there to try to separate them.
Oh God!
It's been interesting, and you'd have to say, if you took a snapshot of the Western playoffs, I don't think anybody would have thought that the Sharks, even up 3-1 on the Kings, were going to escape that series.
Right.
I don't think they would have thought that he's definitely cooled off, but Burns went on a massive points tear. and for a while there seemed unstoppable. And I think it's safe to say that even at his old age, Thornton has really stepped up this playoff series, and obviously Little Joe, the big Pavelski, has certainly continued, you know, being clutch throughout the playoffs. But as a Sharks fan, I cannot believe that they even got this far. They always seem to have that moment where you believe in them, and then every single player on the team just decides to forget how to score, or they just cough up giant leads. And they almost did, if you remember in that Kings series. I want to say the score at one point, and I think it was the closeout game. It was something like 3-0, or maybe it might have been in that the game four. They were like up 3-0, and then LA comes back to tie it at 3, and then the Sharks end up winning 6-3. But that was right where you kind of thought, like, okay, same old, same old. But not so much.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is, it's just the Sharks, like, have the same guys.
Yeah.
Like, through all of those failures. And you know, obviously you want to keep your core and stick with your core. But it's one thing for, like, a team like Pittsburgh to win a cup 7 years ago and hold on to those four or five guys.
Yeah, it would be like if Ron Francis were still on the Pittsburgh Penguins today.
I just like, yeah, but the only difference is Ron Francis was a champion. I just don't get why, like how old is Marlowe and Jumbo at this point? And I mean, geez, dude, like I was surprised you guys got rid of Boyle finally.
What's weird is they are so old and they've played together so long, they no longer even record their ages. they just basically show up pictures of like old jerseys or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've done well, and they almost obviously in the last playoff series they played really hard, but the Predators series was the one that you kind of thought, like, oh my god, they're going to lose. A team, and this is actually a good segue. I mean, obviously we want to recap the Pens run of the finals, but just to give you a little taste, I think that the Sharks' issue in the first two games this series can actually be traced back to the last two series, where, in my opinion, they played a couple of maybe offensively challenged teams.
Yeah.
That were definitely it was back-to-back gritty opponents and not necessarily high-flying teams, and I think I think that kind of has maybe set them behind a little bit in these first two games.
Right. So they weren't expecting it. They kind of shifted their game for the past two series, is what you mean. And then they come out against the Penguins, who have absolutely nobody who can throw a body check anymore. I mean, seriously, it's been my big gripe for teams.
But they have guys that can score.
Yeah. Well, they have speed. That's. Yeah. I mean, that was the big kicker this year, is getting speed there, and you know, to fill out around all our old superstars. So
let's, before we get to the finals, your take as Mr. Lifelong Pens fan about the march to the finals.
I mean, it's a little bit more incredible than the Sharks story, in my opinion, just because, I mean, in December, look how bad they were. Like, I think they were in something like 14th place in the East. It was bad.
But you still always have Crosby. You've got Malkin.
Yeah, but look, this was Crosby's worst start in his career. Like, he had maybe 12 points through December, through the first 3 months. It was ridiculous. And, you know, I never liked Mike Johnston from the beginning. I've been shit-talking him ever since day one when Shiro got fired and Rutherford hired him. And you know, they kept him around last season, and I thought that was a bad idea after the early departure in the playoffs last year, and his refusal to, like, change, like, the way the team plays to suit the players. And then once Sullivan came on board, I remember texting one of these guys I worked for, who's a big Kings fan, and I was just like, oh man, like, last time the Pens changed coaches midseason, we won the cup, and this is the best thing that ever happened, because I don't even know Sullivan, but he can't be worse than Johnston, right? So, and I remember he just wrote back, yeah, but coaches don't skate. And, you know, That's true, but I think when you have this many heads, big heads on a team, like with the addition of Kessel this year.
Hey, you want to talk about big heads.
Roethlisberger Jr.
Is Kessel over 300 pounds?
At least. I mean, the guy's waffle addiction is just off
and
the
I
charts.
Gotta say, in a town like Pittsburgh, you guys love your giant headed
athletes.
He fits
right in. Fits right in, man. That guy's devouring. I mean, there's Permane sandwiches named after him already.
I heard there was a rumor that Roethlisberger was going to try to take one shift on the Kessel line just so he could have two guys that were just bursting out of their helmets.
I'd be all for that, but Kessel, he didn't fit in with the team the whole beginning of the season. I guess he got off to a decent start. He was scoring at least, but I mean, he never plays with Sid. They tried him with Malkin, and those are two guys who both want the puck. Mm-hmm. And it just like seemed like another like turd of a trade that we had, like much like the Hossa trade or who else did we get? Like, Iginla, like getting guys hoping to win a cup now kind of trade. And it took him a while, and it was really Malkin's injury then that got him away from Gino and allowed him to really like come into his element and pick up his game again. And with that,
and
the whole
HBK.
Right. Obviously, the Hagelin trade was huge, just really huge, especially since Perron was like worthless. So, it was just I don't know, man. The Pens, I remember telling Kim, my wife, in February that, and I can't believe I'm going to admit this in public, but I actually told her I was so frustrated with them and just the way they've been playing for the last 2 years. And
you were going to go Flyers? So like, I can't believe I'm going to admit
I'm not that pathetic.
I'm a huge Giroux fan.
I'm not that pathetic, but I actually told her, I said, you know, I don't think I'm not going to fucking buy the NHL pass for next year. I'm not going to follow them every game. Like, I'm paying all this money. I'm barely watching them. I don't like the way they play. Like, there's no cohesiveness to this team. And she's like, oh, wow, I can't believe, So, yeah. And then sure enough, like, the next day they go on, like, a 14-1 run.
You're like, listen, Kim, I've already pre-ordered the 2017 NHL package.
I already put a bet down on in Vegas for 2018.
I've been drinking a lot.
So I had all but given up on them at that point. I was just, like, a little bit tired of, the same old Pens. And again, I didn't like the fact that Shiro was gone, the way he was let go, and I didn't think Rutherford was doing much for us, but now, hey, look, we all eat crow at some point in our life. And
well, remind us who did you play in those first two rounds?
We started off with the Rangers, which I was really nervous about, just because
that was like 4-1, right? 4-1 or 4-2?
I think it was 4-1, yeah. And just because they've owned us the last 2 years, starting with, we were up 3-1 on them 2 years ago, and they came back and won in game 7.
But King Henrik is old now.
He is, and I guess he's not infallible anymore because game one he got poked in the eye by Mark Stahl. Yeah, he did, and then like they left him in, and 2 seconds later we scored, and that was the only goal we got that game, I think, and we won because they finally pulled him and put the other guy in. So we stole a game from them there just because he was hurt, and then somehow just grinded out the series with them. The thing with the Rangers that's tough is they have a lot of D that can score.
Yeah.
So that's tough. And they just go east and west a lot in the offensive zone. Like they were just skipping the puck off the board side to side around the circles. And that's when they were getting their best chances. But we made it through that. And then our historical favorite, the Capitals.
Oh,
which
man.
I had no...
You knew,
I was
you
more
had to
worried.
Know you were, the Capitals are Sharks East.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you
yeah,
had
yeah.
to feel pretty good about it.
Especially when they're playing the Pens, And, I had more worries about the Rangers. Once we beat the Rangers, I texted... I was just letting people know, that's it. We're going to the finals. I knew there was no way any of these other teams were taking the Pens out. And... the Capitals tried as hard as they could, and
they
had home ice.
They won one game?
No, that went to six. I want to say. Because they won.
Ovechkin was decent, right?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't OV of 7 years ago, but, I mean, shit, neither was Crosby or Malkin.
Yeah.
You know, so he was decent. The guy I really can't stand is that Oshie.
TJ?
I cannot stand TJ. And, you know, he was the biggest threat. I think he got a hat trick in game one. But yeah, he's just, he's a piece of work. So, and then of course, MVP for that series was Orpik. So first the, cheap shots Mata gets suspended for 2 games. The Pens win both of them. Then the game he comes back, he takes a double minor in the first period, and we score 2 goals on that double minor penalty for a high stick. So I got to give a lot of props to Orpik on that, and I'm hoping that Paul Martin can return similar favors in this series. And then we moved on to the Tampa Bay, which I was a little nervous about just because I wasn't so sure of how we would match up against them. Even without Stamkos and one of their other stars there and
Bishop.
There's some other guy, one of their other forwards too. But yeah, obviously Bishop going down was huge. Like, but then I, like, once that happened, I was like, well, thank God. I don't know if we would have won this series. But honestly, that Vasilevskiy or whatever the hell his name was.
I'm pretty sure it's not Vasilevskiy.
Well, either way, he was super impressive. Like, I couldn't believe how good he did. Against our team, who was like rolling in, you know, we were scoring like 5-6 against the Capitals.
They just didn't have enough scoring punch, though.
I guess. I mean, like, that was a tight series, obviously, but
I think you dodged a big one with missing Stamkos in all those games to start.
Right. I know he came back for Game 7, which I didn't even watch. I was stuck at work, the only reason that went 7, to be honest, and I don't mean to throw anyone under the bus, but I cannot figure out for the life of me why Sullivan played Fleury in Game 6. Yeah, like, what was the point there?
I mean, you would have to assume he's just thinking, well, this is a guy who's won a cup before. He's a veteran. He's gonna be able to lock it down.
But he was full of rust. He hadn't played for 8 weeks.
And speaking of rust,
yeah. Speaking about the secondary scoring from the Penguins, I mean, shit, like, we got 3 rookies leading the way here between Rust, Sheary, and Murray.
And yeah.
Those are the guys that are going to bring this cup if they do it. And it's just, it's incredible. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, you know, unless you have somebody who's completely dominant, like a Lemieux or like what Malkin did in 09, like a guy like that on your team. You need, like, someone to step up, and most of the time, like, you hope it's a rookie or someone who just lets stuff roll off their shoulders, like Matt Murray, and that's what's been the game changer for the Pens this year.
So good. So after games 1 and 2, obviously, Pens win both. They're up 2-0. They protect home ice. Both 1-goal victories, 3-2, and then 2-1 in overtime.
They were both close. They were both really close.
I don't
really
think they actually were close.
Really?
I know we texted about this, and so real, my take, immediately game one, the Sharks had, I know it was 3-2, and they came back and tied it in the second period, but they had no real offensive presence, in my opinion. They could not keep up. You mentioned the speed.
Well,
and it kind of reminded me of, like, these, you know, cup matchups of yesteryear, where you would end up having a team that may be skilled, might be a bigger team, older, going up against guys that can fly through the zone.
Yeah.
And you think, well, if all you got to do is hit teams, get a body on them, slow it down, you just can't. You can't catch up to these guys. And I thought they were completely overmatched in the first game. I'm looking at it right now. Shots were 41-26. Martin Jones gives up the 3 goals, but I would say he was probably your, almost as a Sharks person, your MVP in the first game, because it could have been a lot worse. They just could not give it away 10 times. They're beaten in the faceoff circle, not terribly, but they're still beaten. They cannot get any shots going. They tie the game. And I just never felt like they had any real shot to win that game, even when it was tied.
Well, I got to say, the first period of that game was insane. That was by far, like, the greatest period that I've witnessed in 10 years from the Penguins. They never come out like that.
I thought it could have been like 4 or 5-0.
Oh, easily. Easily. Like, yeah, like Jones really held the fort there. I think the Pens had at least like 15 shots in that period alone.
It was ridiculous. And then the hero from Game 7 scores again.
Yeah.
To lead it off with Brian Rust.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it right now. You get goals from Rust, Sheary, Bonino, and these are all guys that you're not necessarily, I mean, you go into the game and you think of all of sort of the historical Penn stars that are, you know, still on the team, and you think, okay, it's going to be Crosby, it's going to be Malkin, Kunitz, or Letang is going to score.
Right.
Even maybe it's going to be Kessel. And no, it's these other guys that come through and they're just peppering Jones with shots, and it just it was a rough matchup.
It was, and like, you know, I don't want to get too far off track, but it's kind of like what happened, you know, the other day against the Cavs. Like, look, like what happened with Clay and Steph didn't do anything,
it did not matter.
Right, and so that's what, you know, is the definition of a championship team, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm feeling pretty good right now as a Penn fan.
Yeah. Well, so here's the deal. So you go from that, you go into the second game. The
right.
Sharks, I'm sure, felt like, okay, we've been decimated. I've got to assume that DeBoer is telling the team we have to be more aggressive in the offensive zone.
And the Sharks have looked good this postseason, like coming off a loss. Like a lot of shutouts and big blowouts, right?
They've been a good power play team.
Oh, yeah. That's the one thing like I'm nervous about, really, is the power play.
You know, you look at the last series, and I think this is the problem, is that they felt, one, like, okay, we finally got over the hump. We're in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Part of the issue for me is probably a lot of those players know the history, or if you're Thornton and Marlowe, you're 900 years old and you've lived the entire and you've got to feel like, okay, we finally made it. We no longer have to hear about we've never made it to a Stanley Cup final. They get blitzed in the first game. They come into the second game. The first period, it ends 0-0.
Yeah.
You feel like, okay, we've escaped getting sort of crushed and having to come from behind in that first period. But still, you only get 22 shots the entire game. Finally, DeBoer starts making some line changes. And I think, if you're a Sharks fan and you want to take any positives from the game from my end, you have to go, okay, we were heading into the third. It was 1-0.
Yep.
We're once again kind of getting just sped off the ice. We make some lineup changes. We're starting to actually control the puck more. Nothing's really happening in terms of on the score sheet, but we're feeling fairly good. You get a... not necessarily lucky, but surprising goal from Justin Braun to tie it up. And you still hold that game tied for, I think it was like the final 4 minutes or something, to get into overtime. And then almost immediately, you get shit on.
Well,
I feel like if they had gone into overtime, and if they had somehow, even if they weren't winning, if they had held that game still tied in overtime for, say, half of OT, if they go 10 minutes, and I think at that point, Pittsburgh would have maybe started to feel a little bit of that pressure of, you know, we should have already been up 2-0 in this game.
Yeah, especially at home.
Yeah, where, okay, now we're starting to get a little tighter. San Jose's feeling a little bit more comfortable. They've got some rhythm in overtime. Who knows, maybe something happens. But then you just immediately get shit on.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is that, I don't know if it's funny, but I think the Pens are now like 6-1 in overtime.
And the Sharks have not won an overtime playoff game.
And they've won almost all of them in like the first 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And every time they've won all 6 wins, I think they're 5 or 6, I was driving on the 405.
So you're saying, as a Sharks fan, if we go to OT, we've got to get to at least minute 4, and we've got to make sure that you are at home, not on the road.
Right, like today, I have friends coming over, but...
So this is a perfect chance to win.
I'm letting them know right away, as soon as the third period ends, I'm getting in the car and I'm just heading north.
you're actually going to put into your GPS, where is traffic?
Right, so
like,
I can
oh
just
my God,
get
the
stuck.
101 is a parking lot. You're like, great, I'm going north.
So, yeah, it's just, that's another thing. It's just scoring the big goal, you know, and this is the year that they've been able to do that. And a lot of overtime wins, but like I said, they've all been really early wins, and it's really helped out the team and carry that momentum, you know. And but I mean, like, I kind of agree with you, but at the same time,
you think it was actually closer than what I say.
Look how many posts the Sharks had in the third period alone. That third period, they looked dominant.
They couldn't score.
Yeah, but still, like, they were that close. Like, a couple posts behind Murray and then, like, flipping out, you know? Like, real close stuff. So, I mean, you know, it all comes down to luck, too. And you know, you got to have that lucky bounce once in a while. And they're going to start getting that, like... I mean, the hockey gods aren't going to smile upon the Penguins forever.
So I think the one thing you can say about both teams heading into Game 3 is, so far, both young goaltenders have showed that they're probably not afraid of being in the finals.
Right.
That they're going to be fairly close to being on top of their game. And it's really just going to be, you know, gritty play and not giving the puck away.
Right.
And winning some effing face-offs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we need to talk about that, too.
Here's the deal. I was dejected after the overtime loss and so disappointed that, you know, you get all psyched and you're like, okay, we're heading into overtime. I'm going to make myself a drink.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll throw something in the microwave. We got some time
Hot
here.
Hot pockets.
Yeah, I hear the beeping. I pop open the door. I hear the celebration. The game's over. So I immediately just kind of turned off I still have not read. All I saw was the headline, Sharks accuse Crosby of cheating. Can you break down why he cheated or why the claim of cheating has been made?
Well, it was made by this human being, Logan Couture.
Human being? I hope.
I don't want to get too profane on here, but what did he say? He said he accused him of not squaring up on the game-winning faceoff. Because it was a set play, he went back to the point to, I think, Letang, and then Letang fed Sheary, and you know, so he accused him of not being quite square to the other centerman,
yes,
and also of holding his stick off the ice, which, you know, the home team gets that advantage. You don't have to put the visiting team puts their stick on the ice first. So, and then there was a whole thing about his timing. Which I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand. Like,
everybody knows, like, you're supposed to have your eyes closed to start.
Yeah, apparently. Off. Apparently. Like, it's almost like, to me, I'm like, is that like counting cards in blackjack or something? Like,
yes.
Of course he's still, like, who doesn't time? Like, how do you time? I don't even know what that means, but he says you're not supposed to time the face off drops, and he does that.
This is a bad look going into Game 3. But we've already been on, what, 30 minutes? This is way longer than I think both of us thought it would be. What are going into Game 3, before we break down, and I'm going to put you on the spot for these because we didn't discuss this ahead of time. So think now about what your three keys going into Game 3 are. But before you say those, I don't know if you're aware, but the breaking news is one of the guys that I think actually played well in the first two games for the Sharks, Tomas Hertl, ruled out of Game 3, will not be playing tonight.
Oh, that's huge, because I think I might have texted you even that he's the TJ Oshie,
yeah,
of this
series. He's been playing hard. He's hitting posts.
He's making stuff happen behind the net. And
yeah,
I mean, the three things now, that's big. But I would say for Matt Murray, the only time I lose confidence in him is behind the net play. Quick behind the net play, like quick wraparounds.
Yeah.
I think Marlowe had one in Game 1, or I don't know who it was, but someone scored for you in Game 1 on a wraparound. And that seems to be his kryptonite. Everything else, like, you're not going to score on him, even with a deflect. Maybe if you get a good screen with a deflection for a power play, you're going to score.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, so that's number one, is to just keep people from away from, you know, from behind Murray. I would say, like, you know, for the Pens, I think that they need to get their power play going a bit. you know, it's one thing to keep San Jose off the man advantage. I think that you guys only had one in game two, which is pretty damn low. But I think that's one big change in the Penguins since Sullivan took over, is like they don't job back. Like, even when it's the Flyers, like, you know, people knocking Sid over after the whistle, knocking his helmet to the ice. Like, not even Letang is taking retaliatory penalties anymore. And I think that's because when Sullivan came in, he's not a coach's or a player's coach. He's more of a screamer. And, you know, he's kind of like whipped them more into like military shape in that regard with the discipline. So I would say as long as they stay disciplined and keep that going, that's good for them. But at the same time, they need to get their power play going. And, you know, I'd like to see Sid and Malkin like start to earn their paycheck too. That's number three. Like, you know, like eventually you got to rely on your big stars to score a huge goal. And Crosby had a few against the Lightning. He got his first career overtime playoff goal in that series, and that was huge. But yeah, I just want to see them start to contribute more on the scoreboard and not just assists and zone presence. But you know, like, just because that's going to really deflate the other team,
sure.
I think, even more so than having a guy like Rust or some no-name guy scoring. So how about the Sharks? What's the rundown there for the win? Which, by the way, if we're going to get predictions, the Sharks are going to definitely take this game. I think this is going 6 or 7.
Are you trying to like do this calm reverse psychology bullshit now to a sweep or something?
No, not at all. It's just that you know, it's a long.
So you're going into tonight having friends over, fully convinced it will be an unhappy ending.
Yeah, I think it'll either be like a 1-0 game or it's going to be like 6-2 Sharks, one or the other. No, like in between game tonight.
Sure.
I mean, something's going to explode. Either way, either it's going to be a goalie or one way or the other. Either the goalies are going to be great or one of them's just going to shit the bed tonight. But I just have a feeling that the Sharks are going to take this. You're on home ice. Look, it's your first Stanley Cup final game ever on home ice. That's huge. All of Silicon Valley's finest are going to be there, dressed to the nines.
Or
sure.
At least most wealthy.
Yeah, right? So I think that with all of that energy, you know, this is the Sharks' best chance to get back in the series, because I think if they do lose tonight, then it's over. But
so you're predicting a Sharks win.
Yes.
Who is your player to watch on the Pens? If the Pens are going to win, who's your one key player?
Well, I mean, I would stick with Brian Rust just because of his speed and you know, his tenacity right now. As long as he's healthy, I thought the Marlowe hit was a bit questionable, but you know, he came back and played in game two, and he wasn't quite himself, but still had a decent game. So,
and of all guys to have a questionable hit, Patty Marlowe, who's always been known for his physical play.
Right. Well, you know, people change in the finals.
So he may be having an old age moment.
There you go.
At least he's not sure what he's doing. So real quick, my three keys to the game for the Sharks. One, I think they've got to score first.
Right.
You're at home. It's your first, like you said, your first home finals game ever. I think you've been mostly outplayed on the road. You have to give those fans and yourselves something to feel confident and good about. I think you've got to score first, and I think it's got to occur in the first period. Second key to the game, still on sort of the sort of general scoring trend. In six plus, you know, periods of hockey so far in this series with the overtime, the Sharks have only outshot the Pens two periods, and in both periods, those were the periods that they won. So the second period of game one, they outshot them 13-8. It's where they picked up their two goals. The third period of game two was much closer, but it was still 9-6. They scored the game to tie it up. In the other periods, first period, game one, do you want to guess what the difference in shots was in that?
20.
It might as well have been. It was Pittsburgh 15-4.
Yeah.
The entire period, the Sharks got four shots. Then we go 13-8. And then to close that game, And this is why I never thought that they were in that game after tying it. It was 18-9. 18 shots in that third period for the Pens.
Well, part of that, though, is the Penguins are blocking. And
no, this is true, but they've got to get... Okay, so I'll clarify. They've got to get shots on goal.
Sure. It's just Pittsburgh has... I've never seen them block goals this, you know, this good since 09, when we had like people like Hal Gill out there and Scuderi was still in his prime, and Talbot and those guys, and Craig Adams, like those guys were just putting their bodies down left and right and blocking everything.
And so going into to game two, just real quick on that second point, Pittsburgh in the first two periods outshot the Sharks 23-11 combined in those two periods.
Yeah,
and I think we've talked about both goalies playing well, but if you're Martin Jones, you've got to feel like, holy shit, I basically got to pitch a shutout.
Right.
To win this series. My team's not even getting any shots on goal on the other side. So they've got to score first. They've got to start getting... They've got to be winning the shots on goal over those three periods. And then I think that third key, especially without Hurdle on the ice for this game...
What happened to him?
Well, so this is the weird part, is DeBoer's quote, I'll pull it up real quick, is... super odd, because it's one of these hockey, we're not actually going to disclose what's wrong with somebody things.
Yeah.
But I want to say he said something like, he's got something going on, it's just a bit of maintenance, or some bullshit line that is like, okay, that doesn't really tell me anything.
Sounds like a groin.
He's dead. He's basically, he's literally not alive. It's not a big deal.
He's attending his own funeral.
Yeah. He has both an upper and lower body injury. So I think going into game three, knowing that he's not on the ice, I think that your established stars like Burns and Pavelski and Thornton, they have to be in some combination on the score sheet.
Sure.
I'm looking for Thornton to do something with the puck. He's obviously not the most fleet of foot or skate, but he's got to do something. And Pavelski, I'm looking for him to get a goal. My fourth key, a bonus key, if I can throw one out, which I think would be huge, if the Sharks can maybe give Murray one of these famous headshots where he somehow takes a blow to the head,
right,
and we have to go to fame backup goalie Jean-Claude Van Damme to play any length of time for the Pens, especially in some sort of sudden death overtime period, I think that would be pretty key for the Sharks. Because Van Damme's got to be over 50 at this point, and I don't think he's got the limber dexterity anymore to stop some of those slap shots. I think you would agree with me there.
I would, but I still might take him over Fleury, at least for a period.
You'd go Van Damme, you'd go JBD at his age, over Fleury one period.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think the guy can do splits around Fleury, you know, so... Why not?
Who was that backup goalie you had for a while behind Fleury who you were in love with? I think you guys called him the Prince or something.
Brent Johnson?
No.
Vokoun?
Oh, God, I can't remember who it was. But,
what year?
Oh, God. I want to say it was during one of their cup wins or something like that.
Well, they only had one cup win.
The Moose backup goalie, Penguin.
Oh, the Moose, Hedberg.
Yes, Johan.
Yeah.
I think you'd welcome Johan back.
I would.
He might be the Sharks goalie coach, or it used to be at some point.
Oh, how about that?
But my key player for the game, I know I mentioned Pavelski and Thornton and Burns, but actually I'm going to, without Hurdle there, I'm going to go with one of these young guys I've sort of started to fall in love with, who's a bit undersized, but very skilled, and... one of the Sharks coaches, who I don't agree with this, but compared him to a young Datsyuk, Jonas Donskoy.
Okay.
I think Donskoy, he's a winger. I think he's going to be, I think he's going to do something either to be a pest or something on the forecheck or something to make an impact going into game three. And like you, despite the fact that I think the Pens are going to win the series because they've already got these two crucial wins, I think the Sharks win probably something like 3-2.
Okay, so it's going to be tight.
It will be tight, but I expect it'll be one of these games where maybe the Sharks go out 1-2-0, and then the Penguins probably come back, score a goal, and then it's another one of these empty net goals for the Sharks at some point. I think the Sharks will win this game, but ultimately I think they'll probably lose in six.
Well, we'll see, but I'm hoping Malkin steps up his game. He's due, and he just had his first kid 2 days ago or something, so it's time for some daddy goals.
That face. it's been a while since I've watched so many Pens games on TV. Yeah, I forgot. I mean, that series, Malkin v. Ovechkin.
Oh, man, yeah. One for the ages.
Talk about a couple of perfect Tens out there. But this was good. This was good getting together after almost 4 years.
And sorry for anyone who happened to think this had to do with video games.
I want to say we may do one more of these. So BS Goals may not officially be dead. Feel free. I don't know if it still works, but you mentioned there is a button to purchase a BS Goals mug. we'd love if you bought a $5 mug.
This is true. The problem is, I think as a result of our podcast, EA Sports fucking worked out all the glitches.
Seriously.
It's just impossible to score BS goals anymore unless you're still playing in 09.
Yes. Yeah, more than anything, it was the fact that EA finally decided to fix some glitches in the game, and now it's too real.
Yeah. Well, listen, before we go, I have a special surprise for you.
Sure.
So I just have to grab my phone, and it's in the other room, so you're going to have to talk to the fans because I'm not editing this.
This is all very exciting.
And you're going to need your phone. I'm going to need you to call me. It's my new ringtone.
All right. Okay? Hold on. It's always great when somebody tells you they're not going to edit out any of the dead space, and then they disappear for some period of time. One can only imagine what this ringtone is. All right, I've got Matt's number up on my phone. I'm ready to go as soon as he's ready. I can hear him. It sounds like the door has been opened.
All right, I'm back. You there?
I'm back. I'm ready. Am I ready to dial?
Yeah, you need to. Yeah, just dial me.
All right. It is. It should be ringing in just a second.
Did you hear this?
No.
That is the Hockey Canada Punjabi broadcast call of the Bonino goal in game one.
Nobody.
No, he's saying Bonino.
Oh, is that what he's saying?
Yeah. Here, I hung up your call. I'll send you a link, though, to the video. It's amazing.
I'm calling again. Oh. What about that excitement?
Dude, this guy puts Pierre to shame.
Seriously. Well, I hope I hear a little bit of that on my side tonight, except, that same guy is going to have to figure out how to pronounce, I guess, Donskoy with the same sort of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. This was a fun edition of BS Goals. Hopefully all goals are legit tonight.
Yeah, true.
And we should talk again after the next game or after the next two.
All right, man, you got it. Well, go Pens.
Go Sharks.